I am so incredibly strong. I earned it. The things I've endured, most people would not survive. It made me who I am today.
The general rule in business is that you should never work with two kinds of people, family and friends. My guest today has not only done just that, but considers it one of her greatest secrets to success. What's up, guys? I'm John Roa. Welcome to Between Us, where we get the stories of vulnerability behind success. Since it's the holiday season, today's episode is all about family. Melissa Beneshai is the founder of Baked by Melissa, one of the largest bakery chains in the nation, selling more than 100 million cupcakes nationwide. She runs the company alongside her brother and husband while still finding time to raise her daughters. On today's show, she talks with us about how some of the things that other entrepreneurs would see as pitfalls are exactly the things that drive her towards greatness. We talk about the growing pains of a new business and how those pains can be exacerbated when working with a sibling or a spouse. We discuss the difficulties of choosing between work and family and how she's bringing smiles to people's faces, even during a pandemic. Without further ado, here's Melissa Beneshai. How are you?
Great. I'm happy to hear you're not using the video because it's so weird that I'm not wearing a tie-dye shirt today. I always wear a tie-dye shirt.
Is that right? Well, that's your brand, right? Like it's tie-dye cupcakes.
It's weird. I live in tie-dye. I don't know why.
Where did that come from? Where did the love of tie-dye come from?
I love the carefree culture of the 60s and 70s. I'm like a retired pothead. My kids are really young, so I need as much energy as I can get, but I'm sure I'll get back there. I do need CBD to sleep at night. And I think tie-dye is beautiful and bright and happy. And I love to create. And so I create. I think since March, I've made many, many tie-dye shirts. My Father's Day gift to my dad and my husband, I made tie-dye shirts. Here, I'll show you that too. For everyone in the family. And we all wore them on Father's Day because I have no shame and we're cool like that.
Are the men in the family comfortable in tie-dye?
Yeah. Oh, my dad, I get my love of everything like stoner from my dad. I don't put that on.
I had a flower power hippie mom, and so I get it. My dad was the opposite. My dad came from South America, didn't get any of this stuff. My mom was like, it was that exact thing. So she's going to appreciate the hell out of this when she listens to this interview.
Awesome. Yeah, I think it's like a mindset, and I don't know, it really is my guiding light. Just like not just tie-dye, but peace and love and optimism. And that's the attitude that really founded our company and translates so well, not only into our brand, but the culture of the company. We see every challenge as an opportunity to learn and grow. We treat everyone the way they deserve to be treated. You could always find good in any challenge or difficult time. I mean, obviously we're in a global pandemic. People are dying. That's not good, but I don't know, I'm spending a lot of time with my kids. I'm doing art. Like that's nice.
Beyond necessary, especially in these crazy times. So how do you do that? Because people have struggled to stay positive through this, right? This is a brutal fucking year. This is one of those years that no one could have predicted any of the next steps that came. And people have been put on their ass. They've been tested. They've been disappointed over and over. How do you keep that up? How do you keep that mindset up both personally and professionally?
It's who I am through and through, well before Baked by Melissa started. But I think my experience with the company and my growth, my opportunities to grow, got me ready and prepared for today and gave me the confidence I have in myself. I truly believe that you earn your confidence through experience. I founded the company with my brother and three other men in 2008. Imagine that, right? Your big brother, other people, there's so much passion and love. And it's almost like raising a child with four other people. There were definitely some real challenges. And I would call my dad crying during my hardest days. And he would say, "What makes metal steel, baby? Extreme heat." And so the first years, you know, I remember crying. I could put myself back there in an instant. I remember crying and just feeling like it was the end of the world. But without fail, every single time that happened, I would wake up the next day and the sun would shine and I would not be as emotional as I was when I went to sleep, let's say.
Sure.
And if you do something over and over again, you learn, right? So I've challenge after challenge, I learned it's not the end of the world. Actually, the only thing I can control is the way I respond to the things that happen to me. And after years of challenges, and challenges are incredible, they shape you and they define you. The way you respond to the most challenging things are who you are. And so I learned that through each of those moments. And I learned to change my response. It was almost like an experiment to me. So fast forward, we started the company in 2008. Fast forward to December 2019.
Okay.
I was president and chief product officer at Baked by Melissa, working alongside a CEO who was my partner. We worked incredibly well together. He also taught me more than I could have ever learned in any school environment. Unfortunately, the relationship ended abruptly. And on December 5th of 2009, I stepped into CEO role of my company. After 12 years of being the face of the brand and, you know, having a really important leadership role.
Yeah.
I became the CEO of my company and a role I never wanted to have.
Right.
Clear. I loved having somebody who was responsible for the balance sheet and the P&L and the cash flow. Not my jam. Had no choice. Stepped into that role. I remember complaining to my husband like about the responsibility, like now I'm going to sleep thinking how we could bring in the additional revenue and cut costs and add to the bottom line. I'm not thinking about what new products we should developing. You know, my focus shifts. I had to get us through our busiest time of year. So I stepped into the role on December 5th, right before our busiest 3 weeks of the entire year. Then into Valentine's Day, I didn't feel like a CEO, but I was faced with a challenge. Then right after that, another incredible challenge. And it was the most amazing experience for me. And it gave me even more confidence in my ability. And now I don't want anyone else to take this role. It's mine. I'm so excited. And then a freaking global pandemic happens. And
I mean, the timing of that is just remarkable, right? The timing of that is you're now falling into this role that you self-proclaimed don't want, never wanted. And then a global pandemic hits and now civil unrest. And now you are not even you're not reopened, right? I walked by your store here in Soho and it's still shut.
We're in phase one of reopening our retail locations. So we're offering curbside pickup and delivery from our Roosevelt Field Mall location in Long Island. And we reopened 3 stores in Manhattan to allow us to offer local delivery across Manhattan.
Yeah.
And, you could go to bakedbymelissa.com, place a order for pickup or delivery. And we're also on the third party sites. We're also allowing one customer in the store at a time. Everyone's in PPE.
Yeah.
We have plexiglass. Do you hear my children?
I do. And this was my next question, because you are doing all of this with 2 young children at home. And so now you're balancing the responsibilities of being a mother. So, I mean, it's kind of incredible. Like, I think we're the exact same age. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a child.
I'm 36.
I've gone through a lot of just wild experiences as an entrepreneur. I started when I was a teenager and I've been doing it since. And it's been to find my life, sometimes not the best ways, but that's just my mindset. But I've also done it in somewhat isolation, right? I've never done business with a spouse, a parent, a sibling as a parent, et cetera. How the hell do you manage all that? Like, it's hard enough to do when you're worried about yourself. Now you're worried about...
Oh, I work with my husband too.
I know. I know. I mean, that you're either brilliant or a masochist, like, or both at the exact same time. Because it seems like normally those relationships don't work, right? They always say, don't do business with friends, don't do business with family. And you've bucked that 100%. How have you done that?
obviously it's not easy. And if you were to ask my dad, he'd be like he'd roll his eyes. Like we've definitely, like, especially with my brother and I, my brother was our CEO for 8 incredible years and he was the leader. I had to do what he said. Yeah. You know, I think everyone has their own strengths. And my biggest strength is my absolute positivity, my attitude. Listen, like working with my husband and I, we fell in love icing cupcakes. Like we met the day we opened our first store for 2 years. And the way we fell in love, we would race and see who could ice more cupcakes. And then we were in the bakery together, basically getting it up and running when we continued to open stores and we consolidated. We still kept everything in one bakery, but we moved to bigger space. And there were definitely challenges between us, but it was an opportunity to create additional structure. Now we actually are the product development team. But I think it's really an attitude. It's seeing every challenge as an opportunity to grow. Whenever my husband and I get into a disagreement, I apologize because there's always something I could have done differently. He should and could apologize too. Right. Maybe that's not his strength. And I am happy to play that role in my relationships.
Would you recommend this to people? If you were talking to an aspiring entrepreneur who says, I want to be Melissa, I want to do this, I want to take my passion and make it a multi-million-dollar business and to survive off it, would you say the first ones to tap into are your sibling and your spouse?
Fuck
and
no. I would say you're going to die. Don't do it. I am so incredibly strong. I earned it. The things I've endured, most people would not survive.
Right.
But I found a way it made me who I am today.
Yeah.
And I could have never said that to you 3 years ago.
That was my exact next question. When could you admit that? Because I'm reading your interviews you did with Forbes and all these things. I highly doubt you would have said that then. So what was the mindset that got you there?
Well, I had babies.
Yeah.
Having a child as a woman is the single most empowering thing you can do. And it kind of just, it gives you a strength like no other. Like men and women, you know, we can do all of the same things, but men can't have babies. Not that I'm aware of. And I think that like really showed me, you know, because I've been treated a certain way because I'm a woman. And today, if somebody treats me a certain way, like I think it's funny because like, get with the times, man. You're missing out.
Right.
And I went through a challenge. I went through challenging times. It's not easy to work with family. It's not, I would say in the past few months, I'm still earning my confidence and experiencing new things. And I like, that's my drug.
Yeah.
I declared 2020 at the Baked by Melissa holiday party as the year of doing new things in a calculated way, you know, thoughtful, focused, but we got to do new things. We have to try new things because that's the way we learn and grow and evolve as a company and a brand.
But I doubt you thought that meant it was going to be operating this company from home and dealing with the turmoil that I'm sure every one of your employees, how many employees do you have now?
Well, we had before the global pandemic, 250 employees, and we have like 60 to 70 now. We are slowly rehiring.
I'm sure people were furloughed.
First stores. We laid people off.
So, but it's a big business. In your cupcakes, I mean, it's 20, 30 bucks for 20 cupcakes. So, I mean, it's a big freaking business you got. Like, it can't be understated how big this company is. And it's obviously, of course it could be bigger. Is that your goal, bigger at this point? Like, do you want this to be a, you know, a $100 million revenue business? Do you want this to be a global business? Is that your, okay, you're nodding your head. That's your goal.
Yes, we have an incredible product. We make people happy. We are the best gift. We've been able to be a ray of sunshine and a smile in people's really challenging days throughout all of this. It's your birthday and you can't leave your house and you can't go into public, or you thought you were going to be able to go to your parents to celebrate an occasion, but you can't. You send cupcakes and the notes and messages we get from our customers are like, they make me emotional.
Tell me one. Tell me one that sticks with you.
Beautiful. Like, hi, Melissa. Like literally messages to my own personal Instagram account as well as Baked by Melissa. I just wanted to let you know that My grandmother turned 98 years old in quarantine and we couldn't go see her, but we sent her your cupcakes and like, here's a picture of her. Oh, like chills. Or like people who were with their loved ones literally sending me videos of them picking out the flavors. Little kids who can't celebrate birthdays. I mean, it's fun. Even yesterday, I did an Instagram live baking cookies and I needed that.
Yeah.
It made me happy to stop working for an hour and bake.
Yeah.
And then I give whatever I bake away to my neighbors and amazing.
That is amazing. You're putting me in a better mood. You're obviously a very positive, very happy person. We don't have enough of that these days and I respect it, but I can imagine that throughout this journey, it hasn't always been there, right? And one of the things that, you know, so I'm publishing this book and one of the core themes that I talk about throughout my entrepreneurial journey is my mental health journey, which got much worse during my entrepreneurial journey. Low fucking periods to
I've
one
seen that happen.
Yeah. To one where I cratered, you know, mental breakdown. It was a very bad time in my life. And one of the reasons that I quit the game, I sold the company and I've been living on an island in Europe for 4 years. Talk a little bit about that, because your brain for clearly as successful as you are and as active as you are, as much as you clearly love working and doing what you do, I'm sure it hasn't always been easy to go through that from a mental perspective.
It hasn't been easy. I think everyone has different priorities in life. You could only have one topmost priority when it comes to business and life. And to me, success is happiness. That's my definition of success, is doing something that makes me happy every single day, working hard towards something I love at home. And of course, at Baked by Melissa, I've achieved my happiness. And I think that's what sets me apart from the typical entrepreneur. Of course, I want to make a meaningful, I want to make meaningful money one day. It's all relative, right? Like I live a very nice life. I live in an apartment. I have everything I need. I don't have to worry about the food on the table. You know, I am privileged.
Yeah.
But of course I always want more, 100%, but I'm so happy and I love change. And of course, if God forbid, you know, worst case happened, company's doing well under my leadership, that's incredible. I have no reason not to be happy. I want so much more for the company and for myself. And you need to have goals, but at what cost?
Mm. And what is that line? Because as a CEO, you have a fiduciary responsibility to grow your company at this point, right? There's people who are depending on you to grow the company. It is not to sustain. It is not just to squeeze out more profit. It is to grow your business.
Absolutely.
If you look at a decision where you say, this is going to reduce my quality of life, this is going to make me unhappy, but it's going to grow the company, would you do it?
I can't imagine a scenario like that. Do you have one?
Oh, man. Let's see.
Like, give me an example. Yeah,
let's say that, you know, I don't know, you have to, this is probably completely improbable. You have to open offices or open stores in a new market because of an investor or a market opportunity, which is going to take you away from your family and your husband and your way of life for 6 months. But you're like, this will double our revenue. Would you do it?
And it's worth it.
Okay.
That achieves the goal. I would also make sure I'm not the one going to do the build outs. I would do it in a way.
I'm creating some scenario where, you know, where you're like, wow, you know, for as clearly as important as your family is, if you had to be, you know, in a tough position where you're not going to have that, you know,
I think I'm in a unique situation.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first to say it because I owe it to my brother. My brother really from day one recognized like his cool sister.
Yeah.
And like the opportunity to build a brand around my personality.
Sure.
I did not do that. He did that.
Okay.
It was his vision.
Yeah.
I could have never, I didn't have the confidence I have today. I would have never identified that opportunity. He did that. I love cupcakes. I was known already for baking my tie-dye cupcakes. I literally baked every single cupcake. I ran the bakery. I ran the stores. I was the face of the brand, but it was his vision.
Yeah.
And What I learned when I became a mom 4 years ago is that I've been having maternal instincts for Baked by Melissa since the day the company was founded. I only knew that when I started having maternal instincts for my actual children. And so when you talk about your children, as long as you're doing what's best for your children, it is what's best for you.
Right.
My company is my life. I can't imagine a scenario in which there's something that's good for the company that's not good for me. It may require additional work that I didn't expect to have to do, or a focus in an area that is not what I intended, but that's awesome.
Right.
Because that's an opportunity to do something I've never done before.
So I met your brother, and this is how ultimately you and I got connected.
Yes.
We were at Corey's birthday party. I think it was end of last summer. And your brother's a really cool guy. I didn't realize that that was exactly how the company started, though. So do you think of yourself as a entrepreneur in the classical sense?
Absolutely.
Well, you are. I just wonder, because you basically, you know, said that he came up with this, but I'm like, I think you're selling yourself short there, because you are clearly
But I had the privilege of becoming one through the journey. I always had an entrepreneurial mindset. My brother is my best friend.
Yeah.
We both went to Syracuse. I remember, like, at pre-bars and after parties, talking to my guy friends, like shooting the shit about business. Like, yeah. It was truly like an interest. It's like a game. It's so fun and a whole outlet for creativity. My brother and I also have completely different skill sets.
Yeah.
And I think an entrepreneur can take on many different shapes and sizes. We are different.
Right.
My brother is like a crazy, like, dreamer. Oh my God. Like, what if we did this? And what if we do that? And like, I feel so fortunate to have had the experience working alongside him, because he gave me an opportunity to really, like, exercise my strengths that were so different from his, and then learn from the experience. Like, I've learned so much from him, and I'm not a crazy entrepreneur.
Right.
I am an opportunistic, creative, practical dreamer.
What would you say to your one of your kids in 15 years? They're like, Mom, I want to do what you did. They have a passion. Pick anything. I don't care what it is. I'm going to go focus my energy on that. Maybe not even go to school. I want to, you know, take all the money I have or might have, or my, you know, whatever. I want to be you. I want to be an entrepreneur. What would you say to them?
I'd say, okay. I would want to help, like, talk through. I think, like, I tell my kids they could do anything they set their mind to. That's what my dad told me. That's what my dad drilled that into both of our heads every single morning and every single night of our entire childhood. And I truly believe that is a big piece of why we're where we are today.
Right.
I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. My 4-year-old, I can't wait. And I already try, but I know she's a little young. Like, I try and explain to her what I'm doing. Anytime she comes into my room when I'm on a Zoom call, I ask her if she wants to sit with me and be on the call with me. Obviously, I'm in a unique situation, right? Like, I can do that. And I don't like to take advantage of my position. And that would probably be the most I do that. But to give my child an opportunity to learn and understand business firsthand. And I have 2 girls, showing them that mommy's boss is so cool.
Yeah.
And so by the time it's 15 years from today and they tell me that, it's not just, this is what I'm going to do. They already have a wealth of knowledge through the experience I hope to give them leading up to that point.
Yeah. And what would you, because you said you'd want to guide them, you'd want to coach them, you'd want to share some experience. What would some of that be? What would you think the most important things to tell your daughter, either one, if they said, Mommy, I want to be you, I want to be the boss, I want to be an entrepreneur. What are the pieces of wisdom that you've gained in your journey that you'd want to make sure they knew before kind of jumping into that roller coaster?
So I think it would differ between the two of them, actually, because my older daughter is more she has a level of confidence, but she's also like a little timid in certain ways, where my 2-year-old will literally jump off like a table and see how she lands. And so I think you have to gauge advice to the person, but I think ultimately you can do anything. We did not have a business plan when we started. What we did have was a product, an awesome product. And so there would be a lot of questions, and I tell people all the time, do you have a product? And if you do have a product, start giving it away. Like, see how people respond to it. Mm-hmm. When we founded the company, I had been baking my tie-dye cupcakes for 2 years for everyone and anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the 10,000 hours, like the outliers. Mm-hmm. Like, I had given so much of my life and time to this product already, and I knew without question it made people happy and everyone wanted it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the answer is I don't know. But I think.
Would you warn them of anything?
Absolutely. It's so funny, though, because my dad forbid us from going into business together. My dad is in a family business.
Yeah.
And I completely understand why.
Yeah.
It without question changed the dynamic in my family. I think right now my brother and I are in a great place. We have mutual respect for one another. I know I would not be here in this position today without him. That is without question. And now it's up to me to, like, I'm working for my shareholders. That's my number one job.
Yeah.
And so it's up to me to maximize everyone's portion of the company. Like, that's I work for my brother. Like, I still do.
Yeah.
It just takes on a different way. And I take that role very seriously. I have so much respect for my founders, and I represent them in everything I do. And I talk to them all every Tuesday at 1:30 PM on our weekly founder call to keep them informed and to get their thoughts on the very high level things. It could only help. But it takes a very certain type of person to be able to do that.
I'm still trying to work this out in my head, because I attempted this exactly once. I went into business with my best friend when we were teenagers because it made sense. He was the only person that I knew that was technical like me. We were computer nerds and started a computer-based business. And I was like, right, this makes perfect sense. Best friend, let's do this. He's basically stole the company and all the money from me 18 months later. And I haven't talked to him now in 18 years. You know, and I think that follows the traditional narrative. Don't do business with friends. Don't do business with family. And you are in business with everyone you're not supposed to be, and you're crushing it. And that's why I'm so amazed by this. And I loved your answer earlier that you would never recommend this, but you've done it. And you are the poster child for what's not supposed to work.
But also, I could show you a picture and you could look at it and you could see something completely different than I do.
Sure. And that's what I want to know. That's what I'm really trying to understand the dynamics, because when you get on that 1:30 Zoom call, is he board member Brian or is he brother Brian? Or when you're at Thanksgiving dinner, like,
he's co-founder Brian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone is. And I think that I've earned a ton of respect from them in the past like year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the third CEO
of
Baked by Melissa, and I'm trying to learn from everyone's mistakes.
Yeah.
And I know how it feels to not be the CEO, and I want everyone to feel good. And I have no ego, which is also unique, I think. It's just like my glass is always half full. And what happened to you, I am sorry. That sucks. To be clear, I did not go into business with my best friend. I went into business with my brother, who I trust, and he would never do that. And even though we didn't see eye to eye on all of his decisions, and I wholeheartedly disagreed with some things that he felt were without question right, he always had the best interest of the company at heart and my own best interest at heart. I didn't have to question his integrity.
Yeah. I mean, I understand philosophically, but it's like, you know, but I think it's amazing. I really do. And when I met your brother, and this is how we landed in this interview today, I mean, I was so
taken by the story because he gave me the highlights because I was brand new to New York and I didn't know Baked by Melissa. I had just moved back from Europe after many years. And before that, I was in Chicago, where I don't think you guys have stores. And so I was introduced to it through his story. And I was like, this is freaking incredible. I mean, just to hear how what you guys have done. I mean, it is incredibly inspiring, but it also breaks all the rules that you generally hear people tell in entrepreneurship. And that's why I love it. Like, that's why I think it's so amazing to hear from you and how you've done this. But also the candor and realism that you have, that this is probably not the path you might recommend to somebody or that you think can be replicated. And I think that's important to put out there. People ask me all the time, like, how did you do what you do? Or, you know, because I created a tech company and it got big and I sold it and did my thing. And I'm like, if I don't want to tell you from the standpoint of like a roadmap, because I don't want you to, I don't want someone to go try to do what I did. It's not going to work out. Like we made ridiculous decisions at work that probably shouldn't have. There was just these insane, you know, butterfly effect of years that without every one of them lining up exactly how they did, it wouldn't have worked. And so to coach someone on how to go do that is probably similar to how you feel. It's like, unless you have my brother and my dad and my husband, I can't tell you to go and, you know, choose your brother and dad and husband to start a business with.
I think the most important thing anyone could ever do is follow their heart. Sometimes I think my mom is probably sad about where I am. Like, I'm not like, I grew up with a stay-at-home mom. I'm working really, really hard. I actually said to my friend last night, like, I'm working even more than I worked when I was going into the office. I would get to the office at 7:30 and leave by 5:00. But I had boundaries, and now I'm waking up, catching up. Then I'm feeding my kids breakfast, getting them dressed. Then I'm going back to work. Then I take a break to feed them dinner. Then I go back to work. And if I was a different type of person, I may think that's absolutely miserable, but I love what I do. And I love the opportunity to work hard towards things I love. And I get to do that for my two greatest treasures, my children and my family and my business. You have to know, you know, like, you have to know what your definition of success and happiness is before setting out on a journey.
What's the end game? The end game is when your daughter's old enough to take over Baked by Melissa. Is the end game when you make enough money? Is the end game when somebody makes an offer to buy the company? What's the end game? Like, what do you see in the future?
To be clear, my daughters will do whatever they want. They will not have any pressure to do
anything. No, I don't mean pressure, but like,
I think, you know, I could answer that because obviously I have thoughts and, you know, I give a lot of thought to the future. It could look a lot of different ways. And I've had that conversation more than once in the recent months. My priority is the integrity of the company and the brand that we've built. Big companies spend millions of dollars to create brands like ours. What we did is remarkable. It's not something money can buy.
Right.
I think that the future can look so many different ways. We could continue to grow at the rate that we have been, maybe a little more year over year. And that is success. We can sell the company somewhere down the road to a bigger company that can really catapult our brand in places that we could have never based on the resources they have. Mm-hmm. But I would never do that without feeling certain that it would keep our brand, you know, like I, God forbid, of course, then like, you know, God forbid the company doesn't continue to do well. I'm going to do everything in my power to prevent that from happening, but you never know.
Yeah.
Like, we're in the midst of a global pandemic. God only knows what's going to happen next.
Seriously. Yeah.
But that would be okay. Like, for me personally, I have enough confidence in my own ability and I'd be okay to do something else. I think it's important to know what you want and to have goals, which I do have, but I'm not ready to share just because it's not who I am. Sure. I don't say I'm going to do things until I do them unless they're very specific goals that I need to share with my team. But success can look different.
Yeah,
it can be a lot of different things.
It absolutely can. And you know, there's a lot of examples of that. And I think entrepreneurs struggle with what is success and how do I balance those things? Because there's the quality of life, there's making money, there's success from a kind of almost professional level, a company that people use and have built and changes lives like yours. And so I think that it's that the amount of thought you put into that is, it says a lot about you, because a lot of us struggle with having any kind of clarity on what that means. And I struggled with that. To me, success was just making money because I never had any. And I was 180 grand in debt when I started my company. So I'm like, to me, it was anything to make money, then made the money. I was like, this didn't make me any happier. Now I really have to reorient my life and figure out what that is. And it was a lot of work. And I think that that is something you hear quite often. And even people who go down more difficult paths after they've been quote unquote successful, you know, you hear that these people who sell a company, make $100 million and then, you know, crash after that.
Which I completely understand.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times your purpose is attached to your business, right? And without that identity, without being the founder or CEO of X, you know, you lose who you are. People don't want to talk to you anymore. People don't, you know, aren't trying to get on your...
It's similar to when celebrities like are absolutely out of the spotlight and go into rehab. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think about that often, actually. Yeah. I do. And I think becoming a mom kind of gave me a whole other identity and purpose in life. And I want to, like, that is also my priority and finding the balance. I think the balance of my roles will hopefully look different in different parts of my life and my children's life. They're still very young, and I don't want to be working as hard and as long hours as I currently am forever, because I want to give them my best self be there to help them when they come home from school. But right now I don't have to worry about that. I mean, I do, but they're young.
For sure. For sure. I don't have any kids, but I do have a almost 4-year-old niece who I love with all my heart. And you know, you said something earlier about, you know, your daughter's looking up to you as a boss and how important that is. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, the strongest people I know in my life are all women, period. Like, I mean, I have a lot of men who are successful and who are role models and who do amazing things. But from a pure strength perspective, I truly, you know, at least in my world, the women are at the top of that list. And I love the fact that that's a priority for you. And I feel like your daughters are in just such a uniquely amazing place. Very similar to my niece. My sister is the strongest woman I know. She's a cancer survivor and has, you know, done a lot in her life. And I am so thankful that my niece has someone like that to be molded by. And it sounds like you're on the exact same path, and it's so great. And that's all I can, you know, aspire to when I get to the point of having a family, is to show them and to have a partner who can show them that kind of strength and leadership, I think is amazing.
Yeah. And everyone has their shit, for lack of a better way of saying it. I think men and women are different, like, beings, and we all, like, I'm not going to generalize, but I do often find that, like, men are just as sensitive as women, if not more sensitive.
I would say more.
Their own insecurities, and we all deal with them in different ways. And even if you look up to somebody, like, let's say I have the opportunity to meet somebody that I always looked up to and aspired to be like, well, the more I get to know that person, the more the myth will be dispelled, and I 100%. Will learn that they are human too. And I've learned that.
Do you like that? Do you like learning people are more human than you think?
It gives me great confidence.
Yes.
In myself.
Yeah.
Because nobody's perfect. We're all the same. And actually, my unique position as Melissa of Baked by Melissa has taught me tremendously. I remember the first birthday I had as Melissa of Baked by Melissa in January 2010. We were just opening our Union Square store. So it was like my second birthday, but the first one when the brand was really known. And over 200 people wrote on my Facebook wall, and I cried. It was very overwhelming. Like, why are all of these, like, nobody did that last year. You know, like, people want to associate themselves with me because of things that aren't even real. It's just a perception of a person. And the way I'm like a very, I've always been me. I've always been very outgoing and very friendly and very interested in people. And so, and I never, I am like, if anything, this experience has only given me more humility, you know, like modesty, very modest. And I think, like, I wear the cape well. Like, I deserve it. Like, people could very easily abuse like the attention, and I just have only let it humble me. And so when I go out and I meet someone, I don't say, hi, I'm Melissa from Baked by Melissa. I'm just myself. I ask questions and they treat me a certain way. Ultimately, if you're having a conversation with somebody, it comes out a lot of the time. And the way a person treats me before they know who I am versus after is just incredible. And I judge, actually. Like, yeah. I judge people because
100%.
If you aren't giving me attention as because you don't know who I am, I don't want your attention after you do.
Right.
And that happens more often than you'd imagine.
Trust me, I get it. People think I'm being overly humble. I'll meet somebody, I tell them I'm an aspiring writer. They're like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm an aspiring writer. I'll have a friend who doesn't know me as well, who will be like, why don't you tell them who you really are? And you're just like,
No.
Well, first of all, because I worry, and I don't know if you worry, but I worry about how people perceive and how people are going to act. But I also want that authentic experience as often as I can. I also think that my experience with that comes from maturity. There was a point in my life where I was like, I did the, hi, I'm the CEO of whatever, you know, and I wanted people to know that. I wanted to have that reputation. Now it's the opposite. But that came from me with maturity and growing through this and being an entrepreneur. 10 years ago, was it different for you? Did you worry about how people perceived you? Did you want them to kind of like, you know, did you want to show them a brand that was Baked by Melissa? Did you want to be the superhero when you met somebody and have them think that you were going to live up to that standard and not be that disappointing person?
I didn't really give a thought or take it too seriously. I think my brother did enough worrying for both of us.
Right. I used to worry. I had that worry. I worked hard to put an image out there and it.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. So, and I, yeah, so that part, yes. At any time I've ever had an interview or I went on television or I had to answer questions as the face of the company, I took it so seriously.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I was on Bloomberg News. I still to this day, I ask for like questions that they're going to ask.
Yeah.
And I study like it's a test. I make sure I know how I'm going to respond. And I used to get so nervous, and I truly believed that I was getting nervous. Like it was my duty to be nervous. And if I didn't get nervous, then it could work against me. Like, so I guess to me, it was just very much my job.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
I had this unique role in my company and a responsibility to others to do the best job I possibly could. And it honestly, like it wasn't until recently. And still, if I'm going on like NBC or CNN, like I get nervous. I make sure that I understand all of the financial information that they could ask, because that is not something like is my passion the way cupcakes are.
Right.
But now I have more confidence in myself. And as long as I'm being the authentic version of Melissa, of Baked by Melissa, to whom I embody, like there is no question that our brand is me.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It's amazing and a huge responsibility. And it's so impressive how you manage that, because it's not freaking easy. I mean, it is hard to be the face and to be the name and to be the brand. And to go through
that
journey.
But it's made me a better person. I feel so lucky.
Yeah, clearly.
They used to drill it into me, my co-founders. Like, if I didn't clean up after myself in the kitchen, in the office, I literally got shit for it. Like, you're Melissa, you have to lead by example. There was always something I could have been doing better. And they told me. And that was really hard and very challenging. But it really taught me so much. And now it's like my responsibility to others to be the best version of myself I could possibly be, because everyone's watching always. Yeah.
Just one more topic. Side with Love is a project that you created. And I want to hear either about that or what else are you up to these days? Because it seems like you do a lot to create happiness and to create these other moments that are outside of just making money through, you know, confectionery. Tell us a bit about what else you're up to. Because I think this does represent a lot of just who you are and how you think and what matters to you.
Yeah. So about 4 years ago when our previous CEO started, I told him I had three wishes. I don't remember the third wish, but the first one was to put cupcakes in ice cream, which we did through a great collaboration with Ample Hills called Summer of Love, and it was their best-selling flavor. It was to do something more meaningful to give back. At the time, we were donating thousands and thousands of cupcakes every month to these one-off charities and events, which we still do today, but it didn't feel like enough. Mm-hmm. And so since then, we've done a lot of great things. We worked with Make-A-Wish. I actually granted a young boy's wish named Joshua. He came to the bakery. We baked cupcakes with his brother, too. That was incredible. And then after that experience, I knew I wanted to do even more with Make-A-Wish. So we created a Make-A-Wish cupcake as the May Mini of the Month and donated a ton of money to them. We work with City Harvest in November around Thanksgiving to feed families who are in need and can't put their own Thanksgiving dinner on the table. Every Mother Counts around Mother's Day. Right now, we're actually working with the Center for Pride, and we partner with them every June, and we give a portion of proceeds of our Pride cupcakes to the center. It's still not enough, actually. So we had a year-long partnership ready to go for 2020 that was running late, and it was going to launch right when COVID happened. But now the landscape's a bit different, so we're pushing it to next year. The big, like, you know who they are. I couldn't be more excited. The brands work together. It's going to be a year-long partnership and really give us the opportunity to touch people and to have an impact in a way that we know we can, but also for people who deserve it.
Amazing. Melissa, you are just incredible. I'm so happy we got to talk and to meet virtually and hopefully in person sometime here in New York.
For sure.
But honestly, like your honesty, your candor, your wisdom is your strength is incredible. And it's really great to speak to you. It's an inspirational story. I was inspired the first time I heard the Cliff Notes from your brother last summer. But getting the rest of it and just hearing how confident and comfortable you are giving kind of what I'd consider the real story now. I just have so much respect for. So thank you for that. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I love to, you know, say it like it is. So this was fun.
And there you have it. A big thanks to Melissa for joining the show. My key takeaway from Melissa is how she's such a great example of the age-old rule of entrepreneurship. There are no rules. We are often told not to do business with family or friends. For good reason. Melissa has obviously found tremendous success doing just that, but also, ironically, does not recommend it to other entrepreneurs. Had her business ruined her marriage or family, it would have been looked at as a massive mistake. But because it worked, it looked genius. This goes to show that there are, in fact, no rules, and we only judge decisions in retrospect. If it worked, it was right. If it didn't, it was wrong. There are, in fact, no rules in this game. For all the entrepreneurs listening, Melissa's story is more evidence that if it works for you, you should do it, regardless of what the overarching quote-unquote advice is. This is a topic I talk about a lot in my book. My memoir, A Practical Way to Get Rich and Die Trying, is now for sale at all online retailers and in person at Barnes & Noble. You can follow me on social media, at John Roa. That's J-O-H-N ROA, and the podcast at BetweenUs_pod. A big thanks to Jam Street Media and my producers, Maddie Stott and Casey Franco. Be safe. We'll see you guys next week.